So, how to keep your nose clean. I have no idea what you were expecting when you saw that as the title. Answers would range from personal hygiene, handkerchiefs, etc., to all sorts of things. But that expression, keep your nose clean, it's the sort of thing that prison guards say to someone after he's done his time and he's walking out the gates, and it's a warning for them as they enter the world again. Look, do your best to stay on the right side of the law. Do your best. Be good. Stay out of trouble, will you, please? And as far as Christians in our workplaces are concerned, we're going to be thinking about how to work, keeping our Christian integrity, how to stay on the right side of God at work, how to keep walking with the Lord and going his way, whilst at times it can feel like there are people all around us going in a very, very different direction. Another way of looking at it is to ask, well, how can we be the best blessing from God we can at work? It's a big question. How do we do that in a city like London, which has largely rejected God, forgotten him, ignored his standards for human life? There are several things that the Bible says about all of these topics, and there's no one neat short passage, and that's why there is this handout, because I'll need to refer to several passages just to try and have a go at answering it. But before we do have a go, it's just worth acknowledging just how complicated life can be, because we do live in a complicated world. Some of you have come here after tough weeks, where you feel you've been pushed to the very limit. Others might have had easier times, but you know there are plenty of difficult times ahead, where, as a Christian, your integrity will be tested. Still others might not call themselves Christians here, and yet, you know, we all face big ethical dilemmas in a messy world that we all share. And because life is messy, it's impossible for me, standing here in 20 minutes, to give an answer to this question that's comprehensive and that meets all of us where we're at in our many different circumstances. We've all come from different workplaces. We're all different people ourselves. We've all got different colleagues to work with. I don't know if your boss is good, bad, or ugly. Maybe some of you smirk there. I think that must mean you have an ugly boss. My apologies. We all come from different places. As we think about this issue, though, in all of our diversity, it's worth just being reminded that God has things to say to us that will help us to work with integrity in the messiness of the world, because the Bible as a book understands the messiness of the world we live in. It's real about the differences and the difficulties. And as Christians, as we do that, we will find that our faith in God doesn't necessarily make life easier, but can actually make life more difficult, but not in the way we think. We all live with to-do lists. Even if they're not on an app or a post-it note, we certainly carry them around with us in our heads. But this task of keeping our nose clean, this maintaining our Christian integrity, is not another item on the list. It's not about commands or tasks. It's ultimately about personal loyalty, a personal relationship with a Savior who loves us and who ultimately calls us to be faithful to him. So please do have a look at our first passage in the Bible. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. The only way we as Christians will be the blessing that God wants us to be at work is if we remember that we're God's in the first place and that our primary loyalty is to him. Peter was writing to Christians in the first century who'd been converted out of paganism, and as he reminds them who they now are in Christ, his words are a reminder to us too. It's all about that word redeemed in verse 18. That's about buying, selling, and here has connotations of buying people to set them free from slavery. As Christians, we can never be owned by the boss or by the firm because we've been already been bought, and it's a past tense, we've already been bought, redeemed, out of a life of slavery, out of a life of sin and death, and made God's precious people. Part of the blessing, therefore, that we can be in the office is by being someone who isn't owned by the company, but owned by the perfect master, Jesus Christ, by the master who saw us chained in our sins and died in our place to give us a better life and buy us heaven. As we remember Christ's life-giving, freedom-giving death, so we can find the motivation to be loyal to him and to keep our integrity. It's as we forget the cross and we forget who we truly belong to that we find it easier to go with the flow wherever that may lead. Being faithful to Christ, though, will mean we'll be distinctive, and that can be costly. If the company calls us to sin, then we are called to make a stand. We're called to be a blessing by being people of the truth, not people who massage or even create the figures. We're called to be people of love, so we're not called to be people who take out our frustrations on those we work with or those who work for us. We're called to be people of purity, so if those after-work drinks are going to end up in the strip club, we're going to have to take a step back, even if that means that we won't be seen as one of the boys, and that may affect career and progression. We're called to be people of kindness, genuinely caring for those who are having a difficult time, and that's costly emotionally too. Keeping our noses isn't clean. It's not easy. It's costly. But as we do it, we have help. We've been given a faculty that will keep us on track, hopefully. It's our conscience. And here I need to give a biblical warning. It's possible, because of repeated compromise, to actually silence our conscience. And that's what's happened to two people, Hymenaeus and Alexander, in our next bit of scripture. If you look at the 1 Timothy passage, Paul urges Timothy, keep going as a Christian. And he describes it as, verse 19, holding on to faith and a good conscience. But not everyone does that. It's possible to, verse 19, reject these and so shipwreck your faith, like these guys, Hymenaeus and Alexander, have done. As Christians, we're meant to enjoy freedom from guilt. All our sins have been forgiven. But we're not meant to enjoy freedom from conscience. We're meant to get those warnings if we're about to go down a track that's wrong. We're meant to have a pang to worry us there. And actually, the Christian that has habitually lied and bullied at work and has no difficulty doing so, the Christian who silenced their conscience, is in very grave danger. It's called shipwreck in these verses, and shipwreck is a strong term used deliberately there. If that's us, then we do need to wake up and watch ourselves, and we need to repent. We are to keep our noses clean as Christians. We're to listen to our consciences so that we can be faithful to the God that's brought us at the cross. But the conscience isn't foolproof. If there's one danger which is silencing it, there's an opposite danger, which is for it to be oversensitive. And here the remedy is to be realistic. So perhaps there are some of us here who are just only too aware that we can let God down at work, and so react by having oversensitive consciences. In particular, maybe we fear that we're letting God down through guilt by association. And if that's us, then we need to remember the biblical character of Daniel. Daniel was a model employee. He was able to rise to the very top of his profession without compromising his faithfulness to God. And yet, the firm he worked for was the evil and oppressive Babylonian regime. The firm he worked for had destroyed the temple of God that he worshipped. And yet, there's not a hint in Daniel of him being guilty by association. For the oversensitive conscience, Daniel's example says it's possible to work as a godly employee in a firm that's institutionally idolatrous. The Babylonian Empire was tyrannical, pagan, and yet Daniel could be its home secretary. He did have to make a stand on occasions, and it nearly cost him his life. But his role at work wasn't inherently sinful. And our oversensitive consciences are often there because we think we're responsible to God for more than just ourselves. But that's just not real. The Lloyds TSB bank clerk isn't responsible for the financial crisis, but he is responsible for keeping his fingers out of the till. We can never escape the fact that we live in a sinful and messy world. We can never escape the fact that we ourselves are sinful and messy, and as enmeshed in that world as everyone else, no matter how much we might want to run away from it all. But Christ calls us not to run away. Christ calls us to make a difference right where we are. Now that might be in human resources at British American Tobacco. That might be in the finance department of Primark. That might be as main board director of RBS. Wherever we are, that's where God has put us. That's where he wants us to engage, to be a blessing, even if at times it's a blessing people don't want, like telling people an unpopular truth that everyone's trying to ignore. Keeping your nose clean isn't easy in a complicated world. And if our consciences are dysfunctional one with the other, then that doesn't help. But I'm in danger of overstating the case. For most of us, most of the time, our work is fine. It's not a challenge to our Christian faith. But occasionally incidents arise. And if incidents don't arise, then certainly people can be challenging. I mean, how do you keep resisting that office culture of gossip and backbiting when it's so deeply ingrained? And then there are those times when things aren't obviously wrong, but then things aren't obviously right either. And how do we keep our noses clean in those situations when the world is grey? Well, as we turn to our final Bible passage, the guidance it gives us helps us realise that we're not always master of our circumstances, but with the help of God, we can be master of ourselves. And so we really start coming to the answer, how can we keep our noses clean in a complicated world? And the answer is only with God's help, only with God's help. So Paul, who wrote this letter to the Colossians, knew all about the complexities of relationships to others, changing circumstances, different personalities, and that ultimate allegiance to Christ, and how all of that mixed together could make life interesting. When he writes his letter to the church in Colossae, he's facing all of that, and he doesn't write them a long letter full of, if this case arises, do this, if that case arises, do that. He doesn't do anything that patronizing. Instead, he prays for God's help in two very specific ways. The first thing is he prays for ever-increasing wisdom. Ever-increasing wisdom. Did you notice that virtuous spiral he set up when it was read out for us? First, he prays for knowledge, wisdom, and understanding in verse 9. And he explains why he's praying for it. In verse 10, we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. Pleasing the Lord in every way and bearing a fruit presumably includes their time at the office. So he's praying, I pray for wisdom so that you can keep your nose clean. And what does it look like? Well, as the Christians in Colossae are given God's knowledge and wisdom, and as they obey it, so they find themselves growing in yet more knowledge and wisdom. So if you look at the second half of verse 10, what does pleasing the Lord look like? Verse 10, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. If life is complicated, and we need to keep our nose clean, and we don't know how, we can pray for wisdom from the Lord. And as he gives it to us, and as we follow it, we'll find we get more wisdom. So even if situations are very, very complicated, we can work our way slowly through. It's not an instant fix, it's not fast, it's not snappy, but there is progress and growth. But that's not all. God isn't the sort of God who just gives advice and then leaves his people struggling on their own. We keep our noses clean, not only with his wisdom, but also with his power and his presence with us, with his Holy Spirit. Have a look again, please, at verse 9. It's all there in that word, spiritual. When it talks of spiritual wisdom and understanding, it's not talking about spiritual wisdom in some sort of vague, new agey way. Spiritual here means belonging to the Holy Spirit. It's a reminder to Christians everywhere that we're never abandoned by God. The Holy Spirit brings Christ's presence to us, even in the difficult circumstances. In fact, I'm sure from our experience, many of us would say, especially in the difficult circumstances. But he also brings Christ's presence to those around us too, as he makes us more and more like Christ. It may not feel like it. We may often feel like moral failures in the workplace, but the Holy Spirit at work inside us is there making us different, creating that there's just something different about whatever your name is, that so often our unbelieving colleagues can see in us, and that actually we often can't see ourselves. In essence, by the Holy Spirit, God, as he makes us more Christ-like, is right there with us in our workplace, helping us keep our noses clean. He's there with us, so he knows all about our workplaces. He knows the issues we personally face. He knows the people we deal with. He knows our boss. But he knows it from the inside, not just as some outside observer looking in. As we seek after the knowledge of God's will, we know that he can help us in our specific situation because he's there. And as we grow in knowledge and wisdom, so he enables us to serve as well. So verse 11, if you look down at it, it talks about being strengthened with all power according to God's glorious might so that you may have great endurance and patience. If it's difficult circumstances that we face, then by the Holy Spirit's help, we are equipped with the endurance we need to be faithful. If it's difficult people that we face, by the Holy Spirit, we're equipped with the patience we need to be faithful. The offer is there for help. Let's pray for it. I'm well aware I don't do it enough. And I'm also well aware that if I did do it enough, I'd be very surprised at just what God might do in me and through me. So just as a closing example of it working out in practice, a good friend of mine, she used to work in media. Let's just call her Joanne. She was having a very tough time of things in her office. The company was restructuring, and some of the powers that be had effectively decided that she was surplus to requirements. They weren't going to fire her. They were going to try and find some way just to ease her out, maybe make her life so difficult that she'd leave of her own accord. So her job was rearranged, and she was given a position whereby the resources she was given to do the task and the tasks she was set were this far apart. She was bound to fail. The decks were stacked against her. And what did she do? Well, she prayed. She leant on the Lord. She read Psalm 37 lots of time and found strength there. She trusted God, and she was ultimately given the endurance and the patience that she needed. Not only did she tough it out when she might have been tempted to either quit or to fight sin with more sin, but with God's help, actually, by God's grace, she outperformed all of the targets. She did better than anyone could have expected, and she found herself in line for a promotion. Now, she wouldn't claim that she did everything right. She's not an angel. She's not perfect. But ultimately, as she trusted and prayed, she kept her integrity. And as people saw her doing that in the difficult circumstances that she faced, she was even given opportunities to share the gospel as she went along. Now, was it her strength or was it God's? She'll say it was God's. The level of success she ultimately enjoyed isn't promised to us. We're not promised success at work, but here in Colossians, we're promised patience and endurance and wisdom and the things that we need in a messy world to keep our noses clean. We're promised the help of the Holy Spirit. We're promised God with us so that as we go through life, we can probably increasingly, as we lean on the Lord, keep our noses cleaner and cleaner and cleaner. We'll never do it perfectly, but we may yet bring great glory to God as we do. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you know every one of us. Thank you that you know every one of our circumstances, the difficulties we face, our strengths, our weaknesses, the people we work with, the jobs we do. Father, thank you that if we're Christians, we do have your Spirit in us. And we pray for his help. May he give us wisdom. May he give us knowledge. May he give us understanding. May he give us strength to endure and have patience. And may he help us to be faithful, faithful to you, that we may indeed keep our noses clean and bring glory to you as we do so. In Jesus' name, amen.